I'm Dylan Horrocks, a cartoonist from New Zealand, and you're listening to The Geek Show.
Hello and welcome to the 4-Panel. We are back with another slice of comic book and manga-y goodness here on what I think is pretty much the day of the highest pollen count in the year. Help, Rob, I might be dying.
No. See, with you gone, I can get...
Not Rorschach. When I stir up and shout, save me, you don't whisper down, no.
It's not that. I'm just thinking, with you gone, I have access to all your comic books.
No, you're reverse robbing me. Robbing in the sense of stealing, robbing in the sense of what I do, which is wait for you to die so that I can steal all your stuff.
Exactly. Can't you feel the love here, listeners? Sorry.
I just thought you should not dignify it with a response.
No. Oh, anyway.
And it was funny in a way that probably is not going to translate over to the listeners, but
Who cares? Anyway, aside from leaking from every orifice...
Which is how I described it earlier, and is worryingly accurate.
Aside from that, how has your week been?
Yeah, not too bad. Finally saw Guardians of the Galaxy 2.
Yes, I can talk about it now. Do you know how long it's been?
No, it's been a trial.
I've been holding my tongue, and just like...
I know. This is why you never agree to go see things with people.
I've been sitting here just kind of... in fact, it was so long that I actually forgot about the fact you hadn't seen it. And I just never spoke of it at all.
You know what, Rob?
Yeah.
Before this show started, you were talking about the Ghost in the Shell movie.
Yeah.
And how you enjoyed it because you were able to kind of push all the stuff from the anime out of your mind.
Yeah.
Did you just forget it, Rob?
What, the anime stuff?
Yeah.
Basically, yeah.
it's almost a superpower.
Well, it's not that. I mean, I'm sorry, but if you saw Scarlett Johansson wearing skin-tight outfits like that on a big screen, you'd forget everything as well, including how to breathe.
Acting.
Oh, did I not make a true statement there?
I don't know. You said Scarlett Johansson's skin-tight costume and presumably stuff after that.
You just kind of blacked out at that point.
You know it's one of my trigger phrases.
Right. Okay. I know what to do next time we visit the comic book store. I'm going to say that. And then just gently pile on the comics. You take them to the counter and buy them.
I mean, you know, there's an easier way to do that.
Oh,
what you do is you pick a comic and say, hey, you should read this.
True. 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 Anyway, how was Guardians? What did you think?
Yeah, it was good. I liked it. I feel like probably the first one was a bit better.
I kind of agree. I wasn't sure about doing the whole living planet bit. I thought the use of, I would have preferred it if they'd actually done Kurt Russell as was it the Spartax, the Spartoi or whatever they're called? The race that he's supposed to be.
I guess, but it provides something a bit different. I feel like if Kurt Russell was the Emperor of Spartax, then it would just be another big space battle in the end.
Well, it wasn't so much that. The reason why I wanted that to be done instead is because of what's been going on with Star-Lord in the comics, which I find quite interesting. The fact that he could have been, he could have been king, but he gave it up. That whole...
But is that not inherently similar to I could have been a god, but gave it up?
True, true, true. I don't know. It's just ego, to my mind, has always been one of those weird Marvel creations where he's just off to the side going, I'm ego. I'm a living planet. I don't understand human emotions, but I'm going to
tell you. But also now he's Kurt Russell with a fantastic Kurt Russell beard.
Oh, God, yeah. His beards are always amazing, though. Ever since The Thing, Kurt Russell has always had the most magnificent beards.
I think here is the question, though.
Hmm?
What is the better Kurt Russell beard? The Thing Kurt Russell or Hateful Eight Kurt Russell?
Oh, that's a tough one. That is a very tough question.
It is. This is the real issues. Yeah. That wasn't a grammatically correct sentence.
No, it wasn't.
I think my brain might be leaking a bit. I don't want to tilt my head in case it just comes out in here.
I don't know how to follow that. Let's follow that up with the Black Lightning trailer.
Yay, that's...
It's not a segue.
That's not a segue.
I'm just crowbarring things in there. I'm trying to plug those holes for you. No, that sounds wrong.
That's, oh no. It's an odd relationship we have on the show.
Yes. Anyway, Black Lightning trailer. Quick, distract the audience.
Yes, Black Lightning, it had a trailer. That's a show that exists and is going to happen.
Yes. What did you think?
I thought it certainly has potential.
Yeah.
And that being said, though, I wouldn't be shocked if it all goes down the pan.
Yeah, I mean...
certainly had its positives and its negatives.
Oh, God. Were you lying in that
joke? Really
joke?
Seems on the beat of current issues.
I don't know. It's weird because it seems to...
You don't know what to make of it.
I don't know what to make of it. I hit you.
It's my own fault. Basically, as soon as I said potential...
Yeah.
I realised that there was great pun... great pun capacity.
The hell is going on here? Have we swapped places or something? Have you stolen my mind?
Maybe this is the secret of how to become Rob. Just get a bit ill.
Maybe. We won't go there, though. I found it very, very weird, the Black Lightning trailer. To me, it was kind of... It was weird because, you know, in the trailer, he's kind of the retired superhero, but yeah, then he has to come out of retirement.
I like that.
You know, I like that, but there were bits of it that just... It reminded me a lot of Luke Cage in a lot of ways.
Yeah, I think it's got that very... The word I want to say is urban.
Yeah.
But not like that. Not in the bad way.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
I don't mean just because it's got black people in it. Yeah, it's that kind of, sort of, basically kind of like a superhero version of The Wire.
Yeah, and that's what bugs me a little bit about this whole Luke Cage thing. Sorry, the whole Black Lightning thing. It's so easy to call it Luke Cage with electricity.
Yeah, I think that is one of the big issues. Like, it's going to have to face.
Yeah. And I would have preferred it if DC had basically done something more like they've done with The Flash or Arrow. Sorry, not DC. If they'd done something more like they've done with The Flash or Arrow or something like that, where it's much bigger in scale. But it seems kind of reductive.
It's kind of hard to say that because of how badly down the pan both Flash and Arrow have gone.
Well, they have, but it's not so much from that perspective. What I'm talking about is more kind of, it just, Luke Cage I can understand because Luke Cage is a street-level hero, you know, we know that. But Black Lightning, was he a street-level hero?
I think he was.
Or was he kind of more along the kind of just left field dealing with his own thing? Sometimes street-level, sometimes not.
I feel like, so maybe the problem is that neither of us really know much about Black Lightning, but
yeah.
I got the feeling he was street level.
See, he seems a bit overpowered for a street level hero.
Yeah, because like he could fire light. Well, I don't know, because I guess, does he just fire lightning? What does Black Lightning do?
Well, here's the thing. Storm fires lightning bolts, and she's not a street level hero.
Yeah, but that's because like she's got an entire thing of weather powers.
Yeah. All I'm saying
is, how much control over electricity does Black Lightning have? Does it, like, fly?
I think so. Google, I summon thee.
We know literally nothing about Black Lightning.
I want to know what his powers are.
But what are his powers, Rob?
Powers and abilities. Found them. Right. Originally, he was described as having no innate powers, using a belt that allowed him to generate a force field and project electric bolts. This power was later revealed to exist as a result of the metagene, according to Invasion Number 3. And according to Black Lightning Year 1, Jefferson Pierce is, in current continuity, a metahuman born with the ability to generate and magnify externally localized electromagnetic phenomena by manipulating intense bioelectric fields generated from his body. He's basically a walking electric eel, then.
Okay, yes. I mean, I guess that's, like, not super powerful, then, if it's just... Because, I mean, that's basically what we saw in the trailer, is he can, like, protect himself from bullets and fire zappy electric blasts.
Yeah. Thing is, exactly how much electrical energy Black Lightning can generate is unknown, but he can easily stun or kill a man with his internal powers, and on one occasion he was able to restart Superman's heart.
Okay, yeah, but this is comics Black Lightning, though.
Yeah.
They might probably tone him down for the TV show. I'm sure he's not like Flash.
He's kind of a low power...
Please don't be as stupid as Barry Allen.
Yeah, it just seems like he's kind of a low power version of, what's his name? Who's that guy, the electric guy from Spider-Man? Electro, that's it.
Yeah, I was gonna... the guy whose name is mostly just the word electric.
Yeah, I know. I realised how dumb that was when I was saying it. He's kind of like Electro, because Electro should have been way, way, way overpowered, shouldn't he?
Yeah, what with his mastery over both electricity and dubstep.
Yep, but he just was a street-level criminal.
I think that's probably an argument you can make for lots of characters.
I don't know. I don't think Thor is a street-level hero.
Well, more the other way around.
Oh, what?
There's probably plenty of characters who, if they were more creative with their powers, could be like Sandman.
Yeah.
How does Sandman just not kill like every superhero?
Yeah,
Hydro Man. You control like the thing that is 70% of Earth.
Yeah, I mean Hydro. Well, not just 70% of Earth. 70% of the human body is water. He could literally take anybody and dehydrate them.
Hydro Man is stupid.
Do you see what I mean? It just seems like as soon as Hydro Man just seems like it can only be clean water. It can't have any impurities.
He's very particular.
Yes.
He only drinks Evian.
I don't know.
You're in trouble now, Spider-Man. Stolen the world's entire supply of sparkling mineral water. Now I am truly unstoppable.
And truly refreshed. I have all of these minerals. No. 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 Not going to make that joke.
But anyway, do you know, like, kind of the main thing I like about Black Lightning is...
What?
I think something that really annoys me is that every superhero show seems to have at least one character who's like, superhero, why don't you just stop being the superhero and have a normal life? And I kind of like that Black Lightning is something that's already had that, and he did stop, and everything went to hell.
Yeah. I mean, he's basically, isn't he a teacher, a principal at the school in the trailer?
Yep.
So he's basically raising his family, he's got a good life, he just wants to leave all of that behind, but... It just seems like that past doesn't want to leave him behind.
Yeah, I like this kind of. It's already answered. This is why he needs to be a superhero.
Yeah, I mean that's what gives me some hope for it. It's not like where Luke Cage was in a different environment from what he was used to, and so he was having to take on the role of protector, even though it was kind of reluctantly. You know, in the case of Black Lightning, it just seems like the character. You know, he's. It's where he belongs, and he's trying to protect that, you know.
Yeah, so, Black Lightning. Hopefully it doesn't suck.
Yeah. Or rather, hopefully it's good to start off with and stays good.
Yeah, that would be a nice change.
Yes, because we've been disappointed before. We've been down this road before.
Been hurt before, Black Lightning.
Do you know the weird thing, right? The weird thing is, the one show that I didn't actually expect that would be... interesting and enjoyable to a degree is Supergirl, but it kind of is more so than Flash and Arrow.
You've changed your tune.
No, I still don't like the show. You know, as a rule, I still don't like the show. But it's got some good bits to it that Flash and Arrow just don't have, and I think that's partly down to the fact that a more interesting set of characters, but it's still very much, you know, she can't be super without supervision. No, look at me, teenage high school romance, blah, blah, blah. And it does have some stupid bits. Don't get me wrong. It is, when it needs to be stupid, it's just as bad as Flash and Arrow. It's just got a few more redeeming qualities than they do. Also, the weird thing is, you know, the lead character, the one who plays Supergirl?
Yes.
Apparently she was in that Marilyn Manson video for Tainted Love.
Huh. That's a weird career trajectory.
Yeah, I know. I think it was her. It might be her sister. It was one of the two. It was either her or her sister, the character's sister, that is, who was in the Marilyn Manson video for Tainted Love. Guardians of the Galaxy 2.
Yeah. Yes.
Right. Now, we all know it wasn't really a secret. Nathan Fillion was supposed to have cameos in the movie that were in the form of movie posters that were actually cut out from the movie. And
yeah, which was a shame.
Yeah.
I remember they left the Tony Stark one.
Yeah, it was...
like the Steve Jobs-esque biopic.
Yeah, it was great. The thing is, James Gunn is a very good friend of Nathan Fillion, and he's always wanted to bring Nathan Fillion into the MCU in a more substantial way.
And, yeah, because I was going to say, he had that cameo in Guardians 1.
Yeah, and, you know, he wants Nathan to... He thinks the role of Simon Williams, Wonder Man, that is, would be perfect for Nathan, and... Actually, it kind of is perfect for Nathan Fillion when you think about it, especially when you think about, you know, what he did with Dr. Horrible's sing-along blog.
Oh, my God. Wonder Man as Captain Hammer.
Yeah. Or Captain Hammer as Wonder Man. It is perfect, though, isn't it? When you think about it.
Just got incredibly amused by the idea of him saying, the wonder is my, you know what's it.
Yes. So, yeah. The weird thing is, even though those cameo bits got cut out, the role of Simon Williams is still canon in the MCU, so it's possible we could actually see Nathan Fillion in some, you know, in something else, in a different movie in the future, playing the role of Simon Williams.
I hope so, because that would be amazing.
Yeah.
Although that being kind of what I also sort of wanted them to do with Wonder Man.
Oh?
Is kind of maybe basically do what they did with Ant-Man.
Yeah.
And have Wonder Man as a character who was active in, like, the 1970s.
Are you wanting your big wrestling dust off, Wonder Man versus Joey Ryan?
Yes. But no, but it's just, like, I feel like he is a character really embodies, like, 1970s Hollywood.
He does. He does. He does.
Also, more importantly, you could have him unironically wear the red safari jacket.
Oh, God, yes. I forgot about the red safari jacket.
With the red shades and the turtleneck.
Yeah. Oh, that was fashion, wasn't it?
I don't know if that was ever fashion. That it's... being said, Nathan Fillion could absolutely pull it off.
That he could. Oh. Anyway, leaving that to one side, we actually have some manga news. Yes, I know. What? It's shocking, isn't it? It's shocking. June the 19th. Mark the date in your calendar, folks, because that is when something new and amazing comes to manga. It is something that has never been done before, maybe.
Kind of.
Yeah, maybe. It hasn't been done before. Of course it's been done before. June the 19th is the official release date the official start of serialization for Batman and Justice League, the manga version, which is being written by Shiori Teshiragi, and that will be launched in Champion Red magazine. And they released an image for it, and, well, your thoughts on the image, Andrew?
My main thought on the image is that these character proportions are amazing.
Yes.
Like, Green Lantern's arm is the size of his head.
Yes.
What was Superman... Superman is basically a doll's head on an inflatable mattress, and the entire Justice League can fit within Batman's shoulders.
Well, I think that's kind of a stylized image. But
even taking into account the stylization, Batman's shoulders are ridiculous.
This is true.
Like, he can't fit through doorways. Maybe that's how the Joker keeps escaping from Arkham Asylum. Just runs down a slightly narrow alleyway and Batman keeps bumping into the walls.
He can't turn sideways.
Oh, it's even better. Just shimmying down.
Yeah. I can't move. My shoulders are too big.
Also, to copy what you said earlier, Aquaman absolutely looks like he's gone Super Saiyan.
He does, doesn't he? It's amazing.
He's got like the floating blonde hair.
The weird thing is, right, of all of them, Flash looks okay.
Flash just looks like Flash, but with an anime face.
Yeah, and Cyborg actually looks like Cyborg. And do you know why I think that is? I think it's because most people who follow anime and manga in Japan are familiar with Teen Titans.
Well, plus I guess that they are mostly their costumes.
Yeah.
And like Magical Girl Princess Wonder Woman.
Yeah, that one's not sure what to make of that.
Wonder if someone has ever redubbed the old Wonder Woman TV series with just the Sailor Moon soundtrack.
They probably haven't, but now that you've said that, somebody definitely is going to.
I accept full responsibility.
You want pictures?
I mean, the video probably works better, Rob.
Okay, video. You want video proof?
I mean, pictures are just going to be like stills from the old Wonder Woman show.
Yes. So, anyway, Batman has had outings in manga before. Okay, he's had a few outings in manga. I think Superman's had an outing in manga as well. I don't know if Wonder Woman has, though.
I'm only, like, familiar with the Batman one. Because that had Lord Deathman.
Yes. I'm not sure how this is going to play out. I'm not sure what to make of it. But it is so anime. It's just, like...
It's so, like, early 2000s anime as well.
Yeah, I know. It's just... You look at it and you go, oh my god, I used to read stuff like this.
I mean, I didn't because I was busy being a cool kid.
Really?
I was just busy getting my ass kicked for entirely different reasons.
They're probably the same reasons, they just spun them differently.
Incidentally.
Yeah?
Turns out human beings can't do a Kamehameha. That would have been nice to know before the fight started.
All I can say is, it's better when a beam comes out.
That is certainly what she said.
No, it's a... Have you heard of an anime series called Gintama?
Vaguely.
It's like one of the better comedies in anime. It does have serious arcs, but mainly it's a comedy. And there's one scene where the lead character, Gintoki, because he's a big fan of Shonen Jump, they're always perpetually making fun and parodying all the shows, and there's one scene where he's kind of off by himself in the forest, and he's just doing the Kamehameha bit. He's trying to figure out why it's not working, and he's only doing it because he's by himself and nobody else is around, so he's not gonna be embarrassed, but then two of his mates show up and they're just watching him and shaking their heads.
You have explained the joke now, so I find it funny. Ha. Ha 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 ha. Ha.
He's also the one who came up with the line, it's better when a beam comes out.
Yes, I got that.
Yes. Aside from my horrible joke, there is another bit of manga news.
Two manga news?
Yeah. Fairy Tail, the long-running series from Hiro Mashima, is coming to an end in about 10 chapters or so.
Oh. So these last few chapters are the tail end.
Was that the joke that you were waiting for?
That was the joke.
Oh, God.
It's been like half an hour or so for that joke.
Just so you're all aware, listeners, right? He wanted this story in just so he could make that joke.
Yeah. Was it worth it? And that's why it's funny.
Ah.
90% of what I do on this show is just to amuse myself, really.
Fairy Tail apparently is going to end. But you know for a fact it's not going to, okay? We've already featured a couple of the spin-off manga on this show in the past. There was Fairy Tail Zero, there was the Twin Dragons of Sabretooth, there's a few other Fairy Tail spin-off manga out there already, and they're probably going to have like a Fairy Tail After or something like that, or the Further Adventures of Natsu and Lucy, or they'll have like the kids, like they're doing with Naruto, because they've got that Boruto, or Bort, as I call him. They got that going on right now, so it's like, oh, Naruto's done, he's now the leader. So now it's all about the kids, so they'll probably do that with Fairy Tail.
Yeah, almost definitely.
Yeah, because they've already paired up all the characters with other characters, so it'll probably be all the kids, you know, in the guild and going off on adventures and saving the world from the next big bad, which I always found ironic, because... Once you've saved the world from the ultimate big bad, how can there be another ultimate big bad?
Because there is, Rob. Because if there wasn't, like, all the franchises would end.
You understand what I mean, though. I mean, it's a problem that I had with Bleach when that was in serialization. Everything seemed to happen just at this one point of time when Ichigo just happened to be, a Shinigami, and so he could help save the world. And he's like, well, yeah, okay, and you're trying to explain right at the end why this is all happening now, but you've got all these other bits that happened that have no connection to this bit at the end, so why did they all happen around now as well? You haven't explained that to me, have you, Tai Kubo?
Just like you haven't really explained any of that sentence.
Sorry, that was me just complaining.
That were some words.
That was me complaining because I can. What, if you're going to mute yourself, I can complain. And here is where we show the difference in age. You're still young enough to find things amusing. I'm old enough to just start complaining.
Yeah, I'm like sitting on the floor playing with my toy car while you're in the leather chair ranting at the news.
Yeah, basically. And on that note, we'll take a break. We'll be back in a few moments.
This is Andy from Literary Lightroom, telling you to go and listen to us, where we literally lighter about everything literary. We're far too much lightering.
Good day, I'm Graham Stark.
And I'm Kathleen DeVere.
We're from internet comedy powerhouse Loading Ready Run.
And if you are listening to the radio expecting to hear about butts, you are listening to the wrong show. This is The Geek Show, which is much cooler, but has far fewer behinds.
You're looking for The Butt Show. It's on the other side.
TV. There's a lot of TV. Even the internet is TV these days. And if there's too much out there to know what to watch and what not to watch, well, tune in to The Geek Show Podcast Network's very own TV show, On The Box.
Welcome back. And now it's time for comics. No manga this week, unfortunately, but definitely comics. I'm going to begin.
Yes, comics, yes. As always.
Yes, we're going to kick off with Andrew. What you got?
Me? I've got something that came out a little while ago, kind of at the start of the DC Rebirth thing.
I'm worried. I was worried where that sentence was going because of you leaking out of every orifice.
Oh, yeah, I've got lots of things that came out a while ago. But this was not produced by me, and so is therefore less stinky. It is the Suicide Squad special, War Crimes. I believe I've mentioned before that I'm not a big fan of the new Suicide Squad stuff they've been doing.
Yeah, we're
but
kind
what
of...
I am a big fan of is the original series.
Ah, is this the original series?
No, this is the new stuff, but this special was written by John Ostrander, who was the guy who wrote the original Suicide Squad.
Ah.
Oh my god, it shows. Because this is so much better, Rob. This is so much better than all the horrible new 52 Suicide Squad. So it's a nice little one-off. It's about the Suicide Squad getting sent on a mission to Norway, I think it is.
Okay.
Basically, after a year, there's kind of a European team of kind of superheroes who basically break into the US and kidnap the Secretary of Defense. Because he was part of a company during one of the wars. So I did a bit of war profiteering.
Okay.
And so they basically kidnapped him and forcibly dropped him off at an international tribunal. And now there's a bit of a situation brewing where kind of Europe doesn't want to give him back. But America know that if they don't, they're probably going to have to like launch a full-on invasion. So instead, the Suicide Squad gets sent in to do what they do best, which is resolve the situation while still maintaining a level of deniability.
Okay.
So for this, the squad we've got is Rick Flagg, who is the team leader, Deadshot, who is the team assassin, El Diablo, who is the team hothead, Harley Quinn, who is the team psychopath, Captain Boomerang, the team screw-up, and Mad Dog, the team malcontent. Malcontent is a good word, Rob. More people should use it.
Yeah, I mean, this sounds like the typical dysfunctional American family.
Yes, if that American family was a team of supervillains / professional assassins.
You understand what I mean. It's just basically, whenever you see one of those dramas with, you know, with the families that are quite large and they've got different characters and they have to try and suffer through and solve problems together, we always have like the, you know, there's this character and this character and this character and this character. And one of them is definitely a psycho. One of them's a malcontent. One of them might be a rebel.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's probably what they were going for.
Okay.
But yeah, but I just love, they've got a really good team dynamic going on. And it's kind of, because they basically act like the old Suicide Squad. So basically you've got Captain Boomerang making fun of Mad Dog, saying that, like, if you want to Barney, I'm your man. And she just turns it Barney. And then you've got Harley Quinn, who once again, why can everyone write good Harley Quinn except for the Harley Quinn writers, Rob?
Because the Harley Quinn writers are fans of Harley Quinn. And it's the first rule of writing any story or any good character is don't be a fan of that character. The moment you become a fan of that character, the moment you become enamored with that character, you start having this bias and you stop being able to think objectively about what is actually good for the character. That's when you're fan. That's how fan fiction happens.
But Harley, this is great. She's got some amazing lines. Like, first one is, don't mind Boomer, but he likes to make up words and phrases and pretend they mean something in Australian.
Dude, that's a great line.
It is. And then of course, Captain Boomer says, don't call me Boomer, but no one calls me that. Cue a running joke throughout the issue of just everyone calling him Boomer, but...
Well...
Just like the old Suicide Squad series.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Harley in the Injustice 2 game has some really good lines, because we have that to review on Press X.
Shameless plugging.
Yes. Shameless. But seamless as well.
That is true.
Anyway.
Yeah, but Harley gets some great moments, because... Obviously, the mission goes to hell almost immediately.
As it does, because it's Suicide Squad.
Yeah. And there's basically the paramilitary group that the Secretary of Defense was part of. They sent their own assassin to pull him out. And it's Shadow, who's like Green Arrow's missus. And Harley's just got this great moment where, like, basically Shadow kind of kicks her down and is about to fight her. She just looks at him and goes, oh, you know Kung Fu? I know crazy. Like, you don't even see the fight.
Yeah.
Just the next thing you see is just her dragging the Secretary of Defense away. Just him going, my God, she just wouldn't stop hitting her with the bat.
Well, it's that age-old thing. The last thing you want, the last person you want to fight is a psycho.
Exactly. But yeah, I really enjoyed this. Because it's basically like condensing all of the original Suicide Squad down to like a single issue.
I might have to borrow this off you. Because this sounds like a good return to Suicide Squad. And after reading things like Justice League versus Suicide Squad, I'd really gone off Suicide Squad. I mean, Harley Quinn as a character, the Little Black Book just put me right off her as a character. But it was salvaged by Injustice 2 and the dialogue and just the lines and that other people have done.
Yeah, really. Basically, we just need to go to DC and sort them out with getting the right writers on books.
Yeah.
Like, John Ostrander, you're back on Suicide Squad. Tom Taylor, who does the Injustice comics, you write the Harley Quinn series.
Yeah, because he's not a fan of the character, you know? He's not enamoured with the character, so he's going... And he's not putting, like... See, do you know what I realised Harley's Little Black Book is, right? It's basically the writer's glorified fan fiction series.
I mean, it really is, isn't it?
Yeah, because she's pairing Harley up with... different heroes and villains every single issue. And you just think, that's fan fiction. Why have you got a fanfic author or somebody who writes fan fiction just doing a main series for DC? Why? I can write better than this in my sleep. Harley's supposed to be crazy. You know, she's not meant to be stupid. There's a difference, isn't there?
Well, there's like an objectively notable difference.
But the thing is,
Harley and Harley's Black Book with Harley anywhere else.
Yeah, I mean, thing is, Harley anywhere else is not stupid. She's an intelligent character.
That is the thing I was saying, Rob.
Sorry, yeah. I'm not trying. All right, okay, leave it to one side.
But anyway, that is Suicide Squad War Crimes.
Speaking of war crimes...
Oh, this is a very appropriate segue.
Yes, speaking of war crimes, there is a war going on over at Marvel, because... Hydra have taken over. Obviously, it's been in the news. It's been in, you know, it's been on TV. Everybody knows Hydra have taken over America, and now they have a new president in charge, and he is determined to fix the country and make it great again. And no, we're not talking about real life. We're talking about comic books.
John amazes me.
What?
Well, you know the Ultimate Universe.
Yep.
They had a storyline where Captain America became the president.
Yeah.
And it was the most ridiculous thing I ever read. And I thought at the time, wow, they'd be hard-pressed to ever do something more ridiculous than this. And now they have.
You underestimate comic books, good sir. Remember.
It turns out the only thing worse than President Cap is President Cap, who is also a Nazi.
Well, not quite.
Except he's not. He's part of Hydra, who aren't Nazis, according to Nick Spencer.
Yeah, apparently they're not Nazis. Yeah, right. If you read Secret Empire, then it's pretty obvious... They are. Let's put it this way, right? Secret Empire, we did issue 0, which for some reason is called issue 0, not issue 1, a while ago. So this is number 1 and 2. And you start off in a classroom with the kids learning revisionist history and going Hail Hydra in the class and being told to report on anyone suspicious. Basically, they're showing the whole thing being a fascist state, right?
Which is fun. Single question that completely destroys this entire thing. How long after issue zero is this supposed to have happened?
Within weeks? Months? Maybe?
No, it can't be months. Because in issue two, you see that all the heroes have been, like, trapped inside New York.
Oh, yeah.
They're still there just doing the same thing they were last time.
Well, not only that, because in the first issue, you still see Captain Marvel and the rest of them outside the shield covering Earth, which is the shield that she wanted built. And they're trying to get back in, and they're fighting an ongoing war against the Chitauri, who, for some reason, apparently the Hydra have contact with the Chitauri and are able to summon them to Earth to keep attacking.
Which, I mean, I guess it's marginally better than just what we assumed before, which is, hey, look, these aliens are conveniently attacking Earth, which is, like, something our entire master plan hinges on.
Yeah, but that then leads to a whole bunch of other craziness, right? No. Let's be clear. Stupidness, not craziness. Harley is crazy, not stupid. This is stupid, not crazy, right? There's a difference. Leads to a lot of stupidness. There is tons of stupidness in this series, and it's frustrating me. I'm actually clenching my fists because I want to find the writers, and I want to just give them a good talking to, you know. Take him around the back into the alleyway and give him a good talking to.
Because the writer was Nick Spencer, Rob.
Nick Spencer.
If you give him a good talking to,
yes,
he's then going to spend the next week like posting on Twitter 24 hours a day as to why you're objectively wrong.
Oh, no.
And then someone's going to
I was going to give him a good northern...
statistics that disprove him, and he's going to shut up.
I was going to give him a good northern talking to.
Oh, that's okay. Kind of talking to where you don't have a jaw left to reply.
Well, you know, he wouldn't be able to use Twitter. No. Anyway, obviously, we're pacifists here. We're only making comments. Look, the simple fact is, this is a stupid, stupid, stupid storyline. And the first two issues, issue zero kind of highlighted just how stupid it is, but it's only been reinforced in the first two issues. Aside from depicting the fascist state, you have Thor, or Odin's son, whoever it is, who is apparently part of what Captain America's doing. Vision, Scarlet Witch, they're all working with Captain America as part of the Avengers because, Hydra taking over. How many times did the Avengers fight Hydra?
Yes, amount of times.
Do you see what I mean? So suddenly having the Avengers fighting with Hydra, you just think, there's something not quite right here. But then you've got all the other heroes who are off to one side, who have escaped. You've got some trapped in New York, some trapped outside, but you get the others. And you've got Hawkeye and Black Widow, for example, and they're all in Las Vegas, and they're hiding away there. And some kid has managed to escape, and he's on the run because he's carrying something important that the rebels need to have. Their secret plans of some sort that have been snuck out from the Empire.
Oh, is it a code to the Death Star's weak spot?
Apparently, yes. It is actually the code to the Death Star's weak spot. And so this kid gets picked up by these rebels, who just happen to be the champions, by the way, and then taken across to Las Vegas, where he gives the plans to the ostensibly who is the rebel leader, but actually isn't, because apparently they refer to him as the drunk. And it's basically a hologram of Tony Stark, because Tony Stark is somewhere, not sure where, and he's controlling things or building things.
What?
Yeah, I don't know.
Captain America and Iron Man are on separate sides.
Yeah, I know.
In some kind of war that is taking place in the same country.
Yeah.
And so the proper definition of that would be a civil war.
Yeah. Also,
my mind is blown. What an original story concept.
So this kid gets taken to Las Vegas, and everybody's in a furore. Everyone's going, oh, he may be a spy. Maybe he's not a spy. He gives Tony Stark this message from Rick Jones, who has been captured by Hydra and is in a cell facing execution. He's basically on death row. And Steve Rogers keeps saying to him, look, I just want you to say Hail Hydra, and then like I can let you go free. And Rick's going, nah, I'm not going to. Because Rick Jones, you got to love the guy, you know. He might be in a death cell and facing execution by firing squad, but he's still got his humour. He's still happy because he's done something. He's the one who's got these plans out. And when they actually discover what the truth is, when they actually bother looking at Rick Jones's message, because the kid keeps saying, Rick Jones says it's important, and Tony Stark is doing his usual, oh, I'm Tony Stark, the smartest person in the world, and I'll look at it on Thursday because that's my Thursday pile. Do you see what I mean? And that's one of the things that makes this ridiculously stupid. You're fighting a losing battle against a massive enemy. You don't leave things till Thursday. If somebody brings you these secrets that could break open the enemy's plans and tell you exactly what's going on and what's happened, you look at it now.
Yeah. Also, how does Tony Stark even have a pile of stuff if he's like a computer now?
Apparently he's controlling the gauntlets from the suit. He's controlling those. Yeah, I know. It's so stupid, isn't it?
Why is Tony Stark even a hologram?
Because they need somebody smart, and they couldn't afford Ironheart.
But, I mean, why not? Like, what was the whole point of, like, putting Tony Stark in a coma if he's just going to pop up as a hologram immediately afterwards?
Yeah, but here's the thing. If you want someone smart, you've got Moon Girl, the smartest person on the planet.
I don't know.
And this is where it gets stupid, right? Because up till now, it hasn't been stupid. Or stupid enough, I should say.
Yeah, it's been pretty dumb.
Yeah, but it hasn't been stupid enough. Natasha decides to leave. Her and Hawkeye have a thing going on. You know, me and Hawkeye we got a thing going on. I don't know. It's some weird Mrs. Jones thing that they've got going on. Natasha runs away because she's going to get terminal on everybody from Hydra, only to run into a group of the child superheroes. And she says to them, are you sure you want to do what I'm going to be doing? And they go, yeah, we're going to, blah, 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 we're going to. And she goes, okay, slices her hand, drags it along the wall and says, welcome to the Red Room.
Sure, why not? Fine.
So, So that happened. They finally look at Rick Jones' message and find out about the Cosmic Cube. They finally know they have to find this sentient cosmic cube, which is in the form of a little girl, which could be anybody, any little girl on the planet. So they have to try and find this little girl and, convince her to change everything back to the way it was because Rick Jones has discovered the secret. But Rick Jones is executed by firing squad as well. And then,
not Rick Jones.
In the middle of all this, right? In the middle of all this, Steve Rogers makes it. He doesn't give the order. He just allows other people to basically do this, right? To ease his own conscience. Sorry, he allows Las Vegas to be destroyed by Hydra, by the Hydra motherships, because Las Vegas is where the heroes, the rebels, are hiding out, and we need to teach these people a lesson that they shouldn't support the rebels, but they are supporting the rebels by hiding them in Las Vegas. So we must destroy the city and all of the people in order to teach them don't harbour the rebels.
Let's see, this is my problem with Secret Empire, is that it's supposed to, basically the whole message is supposed to be like, how sometimes we can accidentally, like, fascism take control.
Yeah.
Where we want things just to be nice and ordered.
Yep.
But it kind of doesn't work in a comic book where there's such ridiculously over-the-top supervillains.
Yep. And you know what the sad part is? Of all the Hydra leaders, right, the most down-to-earth and rational ones seem to be Madame Hydra and Baron Zemo.
Baron Zemo literally wears like a burlap sack over his head.
I know.
He shouldn't be the rational one.
I know. So this should not be called Secret Empire. This should be called Stupid and Ongoing.
I think the best part, though, is the end of issue 2.
Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. Yeah, the end of issue 2. How could I forget? That magnificent ending with... And I'm not going to spoil it. If you want to know just how stupid this thing is, read the comic yourself. And you will agree.
But see, it's not just because it's how stupid Secret Empire is. It's because of how all, like, the outrage and the controversy has been for nothing.
I know.
It's been a complete waste of time.
I know.
So much of my life has gone.
See, I never bothered with the controversy and the outrage because I had this suspicion that there was a bait and switch going on somewhere.
I know, but it's just it's when literally every other article on the news sites that you try and look through is a think piece on Captain America being a Nazi.
Yeah, I know. And I just kind of... If this was done on purpose, then really, Marvel have trolled everybody hard. And I applaud them for it, if they did this on purpose, right? I mean, if their aim was to troll everybody.
It wasn't, though, was it?
No, it wasn't. They actually thought this was a good storyline. Somebody, not naming any names, Nick Spencer, thought this was a good...
Axel Alonso, editor of Marvel. Because to be fair, to a degree, I think it sort of almost was like trolling.
Yeah.
It's basically what Marvel does now is deliberately make controversial storylines so that people get angry about it and write about them on the internet.
Yeah, and then they wipe out those controversial storylines in some way, shape or form. Anyway, enough about Secret Empire. Your turn, Andrew.
Yep. So I have also been reading the new Iron Fist series.
Okay.
Which is by Ed Brisson. So basically it's picks up sort of present day-ish and Danny Rand's in a bit of a slump. Basically, he no longer feels any real connection to like his chi because he hasn't been pushed as a martial artist. And so now he's just wandering around the world, kind of going to underground fight clubs, trying to find a worthy opponent.
Okay.
Just as a side note, it must be nice when your only problem in the world is that you're too good at kung fu. That's a problem I could live with, I think.
Well, I don't know, because it's just convenient that Danny Rand just happens to be very, very rich, so he's able to just have this one problem.
Yes, that was the point.
No, I'm just saying, you know, if he was just extremely good at kung fu and poor, he'd have to do some side jobs to get food, to get money to buy food, wouldn't he?
Yes, Rob.
Did I miss the point again?
You didn't miss the point so much as, like, slap the point down on the table and tear it open with a knife so that we could all see it.
Ah, sorry.
No, it's good. Just you're making sure that even the kids at the back of the class got it.
Yes, sorry.
So, basically, while he's doing that, he gets approached by a random guy to take part in an island tournament. And he goes to this mysterious island, which is made up of a bunch of people who used to be part of Kun Lun, but centuries ago left the city because of all the corruption and the infighting to set up their own community. And now they're kind of trying to prove themselves and prove kind of their seven styles of martial arts that they've worked on. And to do that, they've challenged kind of Danny to fight through each of their seven masters.
Okay.
So kind of the ones you see, like the master of eel style, which, I mean, I'm calling foul on that one because he doesn't do kung fu so much as can shoot electricity from his hands.
So he's Electro.
Or Black Lightning.
Oh, Black Lightning. Well, Black Lightning, yeah, actually is closer, yeah.
But for the ones that are more interesting, you've got kind of the Rat.
The Rat style?
Yeah, Rat style. But it's like Rat of 12 Plagues. It's like basically the idea is he's a kid whose entire village was destroyed, and so he had to like eat his own mother to survive.
Ooh, nasty.
But also while doing that, he got infected with like a whole bunch of different diseases, only to then like learn to control the diseases. And now he's like some kind of crazy poison kung fu expert.
Hang on, doesn't that make him like ridiculously powerful?
Yeah, pretty much. Oh. Like he can scratch dudes and like just infect them.
Well, he doesn't even need to scratch them. He just gets up close and coughs on them.
Yeah, that is a thing he could theoretically do.
You know?
And then like the other one that's been introduced is the Snake, who's like a guy which actually this bit kind of confused me, because he is a guy who was also almost the Iron Fist. So I feel like but I don't understand how he was almost Iron Fist, but also hasn't met Danny Rand before. But basically that is he was meant to be Iron Fist, but then one of the opponents he faced ended up tearing off both his arms. So instead he's just like learning a new form of Kung Fu Lu. Using only his body and his legs.
Okay, so...
Yeah, so, sorry. Basically, it's borrowing a lot from, like, Chinese kung fu films.
Yeah. I mean, even...
And also Mortal Kombat, of course.
Yeah. Even the setup, when you said the island, I started thinking, is this Enter the Dragon?
Yeah, it is. It's very much Enter the Dragon, Mortal Kombat type thing. Like, Because I feel like that's something that the Anfis TV show should have done, is just like wear its influences more on its sleeve.
Yeah.
But I don't know, I like the idea of it, but I feel like the execution just falls flat a little bit. Because I think it reminds me a lot of the Matt Fraction and David Age of Iron Fist stories. Because it's a similar plot of just like a magic kung fu tournament, but just done not as well.
Yeah.
And I hate to say it, but I think a lot of it is the art. Because no offense to Mike Perkins, it's just, it feels a little bit flat at times.
Yeah.
But then again, that is because I'm comparing it to like David Ager, who, without hyperbole, is probably like one of the best artists in comics.
Was he the one who did the previous Iron Man series?
No, he is the one who did the Hawkeye series.
Oh, yes, he's amazing.
He is phenomenal. So, like, obviously, his Iron Fist fight scene's, like, really fantastic.
Yeah.
And this just feels like a bit of a pale imitation. Like, because they even copy one of that series' main things.
Oh.
Which to be fair, I think, has become, like, an accepted part of the Iron Fist canon, is that whenever someone does a kung fu move, there's, like, a little box in the right-hand corner saying, like, what the name of the move is. But it's still the same joke of having a bunch of stuff that's, like, you know, exploding death fist,
yeah,
whirling hurricane kick, then, like, King's Haymaker, and one which I again liked was the Cobra Kai leg sweep. Which, I mean, is funny, but it's the same joke of, like, ridiculous over-the-top kung fu move, ridiculous over-the-top kung fu move, like, generic punching slash film reference move.
Yep.
Which, again, is what the Matt Fraction David Ager series did.
Yeah. I don't know. I like the setup that you've explained, but I don't know.
Yeah, it's a really cool setup. It's just, it's annoying because I feel like if it was a setup that Matt Fraction was writing,
yeah,
it would be absolutely amazing, but it's just, it's lacking a certain something.
Yeah, it sounds it. I mean, it just sounds derivative.
Yeah, pretty much.
Like, it's got no identity of its own. It's just stealing ideas from everywhere else.
Yeah, because, I mean, to feel like, again, holding it up to the Matt Fraction David Ager stuff, they also were quite clearly heavily influenced by Chinese kung fu films.
Yeah.
But that just, they incorporated it much better than this one does.
Hmm.
I guess it's maybe like the difference between using something and actually understanding it.
Yeah.
This is just like a bunch of stuff that someone has seen in a kung fu film before, so we're going to put it in here as well.
Yeah, I get you.
Yeah, that's all I've got on Iron Fist.
Okay. So, my last turn then, yeah?
Yep, your last one.
Okay. So, for my last trick, I'm heading back to Marvel for something that has been on the cards for a while, and I'm going to tear it off.
One of the ones I've been kind of avoiding.
Yes, you've been avoiding this, but we're going to do it, so I'm going to tear it off like a plaster. It's going to come off fast. It'll come off with a lot of hair, maybe some skin, but you know, you'll feel better for it after it's done. Because continuing with the Marvel stupidity, after Inhumans versus X-Men, you had X-Men Prime and then X-Men Gold and X-Men Blue and X-Men this and X-Men that, when X-Men, you know, on the farm and all sorts of other X-Men. But
X-Men go to town.
Yeah, X-Men go to town. But what happened to the Inhumans?
They all died, fingers crossed.
Nope. See, oh. Black Bolt, which I will talk about at some point. In fact, I may as well tie all this together. Black Bolt, I'm going to tie in with this, right? Because it does tie in. The first issue of Black Bolt does tie in with this. Because this is Royals.
Which, before we even start, I hate this series because it keeps getting that stupid song stuck in my head.
Which one?
You know, the Royals song.
Oh, God, that one, yeah.
Because we'll never be Royals. That one. Sung just like the girl who sings it.
Yeah. anyway, Royals is basically, it's after the end of Inhumans versus X-Men, that's when it starts off. And you have Medusa, she's given up being queen. The Inhumans are starting to have this self-rule. There is no Terrigen Cloud anymore. And so things are happening. And then Marvel Boy, a Kree explorer from another dimension, who was engineered with insect traits for combat superiority, appears and says to Medusa, don't you want to find out the truth of your existence? Words to that effect. So Medusa decides to head out into the cosmos to find out, you know, what the purpose of the Inhumans is now. Where do they go from here? And going along for the ride is Black Bolt, Crystal, Gorgon, Swain, who is a new Inhuman who can push emotions and opinions in her favour, and Flint, who is a new Inhuman who has the ability that rock and stone obey his thoughts, and the bigger the rock, the better.
See, I get the Swain.
Yeah, I know. So, anyway, they're all in a spaceship and they're all heading into space, little realising that Marvel Boy actually is... he is working for the Supreme Intelligence on something, and they're not sure what it is. You know, they haven't clarified it yet, but Marvel Boy has his own ulterior motive to get for getting the Inhumans involved. But it also turns out that Medusa is...
To kill them all, Marvel Boy, because no jury in the world would convict you.
Yeah, I know. But here's the thing. It also turns out that Medusa is dying, as in, the first stage of it is her hair breaking. So Medusa is apparently dying, and Black Bolt is showing his typical concern for Medusa by being standoffish and avoiding any contact with Medusa whatsoever. His wife of many years, who he should have loads of emotions for, but he's doing his aloof thing, and Medusa kind of expects that of him. And I don't like this relationship between Black Bolt and Medusa.
Yeah, that's never been how it's been portrayed.
Yeah. But now that's how they're portraying it, like they're an estranged couple. And you're like, this is Black Bolt and Medusa. They have been a couple for, well, since before the Fantastic Four, since before the Hulk, since before everything.
See, I think secretly Black Bolt is just really annoyed at Medusa shedding everywhere.
And he can't say a word of complaint.
God, can you imagine what their shower's like?
No, the plug hole.
He's going to have to snake that drain and like... an hourly basis.
See, this is where it gets stupid, right? Up to them getting on the spaceship, up to the, you know, Marvel Boy having his own ulterior motive and working with the Supreme Intelligence, even up to Medusa having, you know, Medusa having something wrong with her and she's dying, all of that, fine. Okay, totally fine with that. So you're basically, the setup is Medusa's last hurrah, she's off into the universe to do something great, one last hurrah, fine. I'm good with that setup. But then it gets stupid, right? Because you have them being attacked and chased and attacked and chased by various things. The universe is a hostile place and they all come together and work more and more as one. And the rest of the crew find out that Medusa is actually dying. Gorgon still calls her my queen because he's very loyal. And, oh, look, he might be scary, but he's loyal. Crystal knows that there's something wrong with Medusa. And Medusa ends up in kind of one of those hospital bed type things on the ship, and they know that she's dying because her hair keeps falling out and she's shedding everywhere. And this is where things start to come to light. And
Lockjaw's not with the Inhumans.
Lockjaw is not with the Inhumans.
Oh my God, can you imagine Lockjaw and Medusa in the same room?
Yeah, I know. Slobbering hairballs everywhere. Where was I? I'm distracted by the slobbering hairballs. It turns out that they can't explain why Medusa's dying. And then they come up with this idea that Terrigen, because it's a quasi-mystical thing, maybe the fact that she stopped the Terrigen from existing, she basically cancelled it out. Maybe it's the blowback from that, and that's why she's dying. It's the price she has to pay for getting rid of Terrigen. You're like, hang on, no. Terrigen was created by Kree scientists. You've basically ignored, like, the entire history of the Inhumans.
And just science in general.
Yeah, it was the Inhumans were created by the Kree. If this is not a mystical energy type thing, it was created by the Kree. They were genetically modified to react to this substance.
It's kind of weird that they had this whole religious thing around it anyway now, isn't it?
Yeah, I know. And when I said this is where it gets stupid, it gets even stupider in issue 3. When it turns out that Black Bolt isn't Black Bolt, because this is where Black Bolt number 1 comes in. Black Bolt isn't Black Bolt. Black Bolt is actually Maximus the Mad. because Maximus the Mad, it turns out, is his brother's keeper, and then it goes into issue 3 where it explains how Maximus and Black Bolt got their powers with their parents on the Kree homeworld and everything like that. You're like, oh, right, okay. But it also turns out that Maximus apparently is doing this for the good of all. And you're like, really? And apparently Maximus can control Black Bolt at certain points because his parents designed them both that way. Black Bolt is, like, immensely powerful, but Maximus is the only one who can stop Black Bolt. You're like, so your parents are, like, scum? They are the scummiest parents in existence. They basically experimented on their own kids repeatedly and repeatedly and repeatedly and then left them mentally scarred and physically scarred?
I mean, yes.
And so Maximus apparently is in the guise of Black Bolt, reveals himself finally when Medusa says, you're not actually my husband, are you? And says, where is my husband? And then realizes that she's actually condemned her husband to prison and walked away from him, right? And Black Bolt knows that because they basically walked away, which means they can never go back. Wherever Black Bolt ends up, he's on his own. He's got to get out of there on his own, which leads us to Black Bolt issue 1, where you find he's in prison. And for some reason, the Absorbing Man is in that prison as well. Not sure why. And so Black Bolt has to try and come to terms with the prison and the prison warden. And it's a very stupid comic as well.
I've no goddamn idea what you've been saying for like the past 5 minutes.
Yeah, because it's that stupid. It literally is that stupid. There is no point to this story.
So Maximus had like magic face-changing stuff, right?
Yeah, but he also has powers where he can put Black Bolt to sleep and take over Black Bolt's place and make Black Bolt look like him so that Black Bolt can then be condemned to prison for all eternity and Medusa won't know and telepaths won't know that it's actually Black Bolt. Oh, and Karnak's not with Medusa because Karnak is actually in a Hydra prison somewhere and had to be broken out of jail by one of the Rogue Shield agents. I think she's called Quake, and Moon Girl, and a couple of other people. So that happened as well. Oh, and apparently Maximus is also the last Inhuman. 5,000 years from the time of the Royals, Maximus will be the last Inhuman, allegedly.
What?
Yeah.
I'm kind of hoping at least some of this has just been lost in translation.
No, it is that stupid.
You sound like a crazy person, Rob.
I haven't sounded this crazy since Justice League versus Suicide Squad, have I?
Oh, no, this is that I could understand. That was just a really bad storyline. This is gobbledygook, Rob.
Yeah, I know. It's stupid. It literally is just that stupid.
I give up.
Well, the author is Al Ewing.
But Al Ewing writes good stuff.
And this ostensibly could have been good if they'd basically done it, if they played this straight instead of trying to do all sorts of weird stuff. I mean, the artwork is kind of horrible, by the way. It's very, very, very Western manga type thing.
Oh, it's the same guy who did the Teen Titans, isn't it?
Is it Myers? Is it? Oh, Myers and Kinnaird. Yeah,
like John Boy Myers?
John Boy Myers. I think so. Hang on.
I mean, you're the one who's been reading it, Bob. You look at the issue.
You're making me look at stuff. Yeah, John Boy Myers.
Yeah, he is very manga-esque.
Yeah.
I mean that in the bad way.
Yeah, it is in the bad way. There's very sharp, pointy spikes everywhere, including the hair, especially the hair. Apparently all hair is pointy and spiky.
Fine. It's just, maybe that's part of Medusa's illness, is that she looks like a manga character, but bad.
Yep.
Because, I mean, I say that, she doesn't look like a manga character, because that's not what manga characters look like.
So, anyway.
Can I just go now?
Yeah.
I'm confused and tired.
Well, this is the thing. I mean, this starts off, the whole series starts off 5,000 years in the future with the last Inhuman. And it's basically Maximus. Apparently, Royals is Maximus remembering everything that happened.
Please, no more.
Do you see what I mean? So stupid.
Please, sir, I've had enough.
No, you've never had enough.
I have. I demonstrably have. The show is over now, you can all leave.
Yes, all I can do is apologise for the confusion with Royals. It is that stupid. It's just, I don't know, right? I don't honestly.
Just get out.
But before you get out, all of our shows...
Okay, there we go.
All of our shows are available on Audio Boom and iTunes, and if you are listening through either of those services, then do subscribe. It'll keep you up to date, and all of our other shows are available there as well. If you're interested in joining us on a podcast or writing for us, then get in touch with us. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, or just email us studio@thegeekshow.co.uk. Until next time on 4Panel 1, things hopefully will be a bit more logical, a bit more straightforward, and not as confusing or badly written. Until then, I've been Rob.
And he's been Rob.
And he's been Andrew.
And I've been Rob.
We'll see you all later.
Thanks for listening.